this world to be here today. And Lord, I pray you would bless each one for being here. Lord, I know that when we come to church, we're just doing our reasonable service, but sometimes it's not easy. And I'm thankful, Lord, for every person that puts forth the effort, for everyone that comes, and I ask that you bless them. Lord, especially I pray if there's someone here today that does not know you as their Savior, that this day before they leave, they would be under such strong conviction that they would receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Lord, please let this day be their day of salvation. And God, for those of us that are already saved, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to have ears to hear and hearts to receive for what you have for us. Help us, Lord, to make whatever decisions we need to make. And Lord, help all of us to be able to say that it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. Please help me now as I preach in Jesus' name. Amen. The title for the message today is The Kiss Principle. The Kiss Principle. And in getting started, I want to say that I have heard, and you probably have as well, but I have heard people talk about the Kiss Principle. In fact, earlier this week, I was watching a program on television. It was on the Food Network, and it was a cooking competition. And yes, I do watch the Food Network. I know that that sounds maybe not very masculine, but I do watch the Food Network because I like to cook and I like to learn new recipes and so forth. But this is a cooking competition. The name of the show is called Chopped. Anybody in here ever seen that before? Come on, men, raise your hand. All right. Well, that's the name of the program, Chopped, and it's a cooking competition. And one of the competitors in this competition talked about the KISS principle. And in this principle, the word KISS is used as an acrostic, which simply means that each letter represents a word. And the words are keep it simple, stupid. Y'all ever heard of that before? Keep it simple, stupid. And of course, the idea in the principle is that it's foolish in whatever you're doing, whether it be cooking or whatever the case, but it's foolish to overcomplicate the situation. So just keep it simple. And that's what I'm going to emphasize in the message this morning. But now in my KISS principle, the words are keep it simple, saints. Keep it simple, saints. Not keep it simple, stupid, but keep it simple, saints. And I'm going to preach this morning to the saints about what Paul calls the simplicity that is in Christ. So take a look with me once again right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In verse number 3, the verse we read a moment ago, and notice carefully what Paul says. Paul says here, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Paul here goes all the way back to the very beginning of your Bible. He goes back to the Garden of Eden where we read about when Adam and Eve sinned and fell there in the Garden of Eden. And he talks here about how the serpent, through his subtlety, beguiled Eve. Now, the serpent, as you know, according to the Bible, is the devil. And the scripture says he was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God made. And he beguiled Eve there in the Garden of Eden. And Paul says here in verse 3, he says, I fear. In other words, I'm afraid that just like the serpent beguiled Eve, your minds, talking to the saints in the church at Corinth, your minds will be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Look at what he says. He says, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Notice he says in the verse, so your minds should be corrupted. What the devil wants to do is to corrupt our minds. He's after our minds, and he wants to corrupt our minds from the simplicity that is in Christ. He wants us to begin thinking in a way that we don't need to think when it comes to the things associated with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason he wants to do this is because ultimately what we think, y'all with me? What we think determines what we do. Would y'all agree with that? I've heard a lot of people talk before about how the battle is won or lost between our ears. Y'all have heard that before? And there's a lot of truth to that. So what the devil wants to do is corrupt our minds, get us to thinking in a way that we don't need to think, because if we begin to think in the wrong way, it's going to affect every facet of our lives. And so the devil wants us to begin thinking that the things of Christ are more complicated than they actually are. It says in the verse, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. He wants us to begin thinking that the things associated with the Lord Jesus Christ are more complicated than they actually are. And I believe with all of my heart this morning that one of the main areas, maybe not the only, but one of the main areas where the devil wants our minds corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ is in the area of salvation. It is one of the main areas where he wants our minds corrupted. And I'm talking here to saints, to people that are already saved. The devil wants to mess with your mind. Y'all understand that this morning? He wants to mess with your mind. He wants to corrupt your mind, even as a saint, even as someone who is already saved and on their way to heaven. He wants to mess with your mind so that you begin in your mind to muddy the water, to overcomplicate the salvation that comes only through a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why would the devil want to do that? Why would he want to bother me? Why would he want to get my mind messed up? I mean, after all, I'm already saved and I'm going to heaven, and there's nothing that he can do to change that, right? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful to know that when you get saved, I'm talking about when you really get saved, when you become God's child, that there's nothing he or anyone else, not even your own self, will ever do to change the fact that when you leave this world, you're going to heaven. Isn't that a blessing? It's wonderful to have that confidence and that assurance, and there's nothing he can do to change that. So why does he want to mess my mind up when it comes to this matter of salvation? Well, let me give you a couple of things to think about. Even though he cannot change the fact that I am saved, he can get me to thinking that maybe I'm not saved. Y'all follow what I'm saying? He may not be able to change my salvation. He may not be able to do anything to make me unsaved, and thank God for that fact. But he can get my mind messed up so that I begin thinking that I am not saved. He can get me to the point where I begin to doubt my own salvation. That's what happens when he corrupts a saint's mind from the simplicity that is in Christ. When he gets you to thinking there's more to salvation than what we find in the Word of God, then what happens is you begin to doubt your own salvation. Well, I wonder if I really am saved. Have I believed enough? Have I done what I need to do? And you begin to question your own salvation. Now, why would he want you to question your salvation? Well, I can tell you this. As long as you have serious doubts in your mind, and I do believe that every Christian, if they're honest, will admit that at some point in time in their life, they have had some doubts about their salvation. As long as you got serious doubts in your mind about your salvation, you're going to live in some degree of torment. In some degree, you're not going to have peace of mind if you're not confident about your salvation. Think about it. I think about myself. One reason why I'm able to lay down at night and sleep in peace is the fact that I know that if something happens to me during that night and I never see the sun come up, I'm going to open my eyes in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a glorious thought. What a wonderful promise. What a great confidence that we have just knowing that if something happens at any time, we will be with Him. That gives peace of mind irregardless of what's going on in my life. But if I don't have that confidence, y'all following what I'm saying? If I don't have that confidence, if I don't have assurance of my salvation, I cannot have that type of peace that I just talked about, because I'm in turmoil. I'm wondering if I am actually saved. So He wants to corrupt my mind, your mind, if you're saved from the simplicity that is in Christ, so you'll doubt your own salvation. So you'll wonder, am I really saved? But I tell you another reason why He wants to do this to the saints is so that we will begin to preach a false plan of salvation. See, if He gets you confused and corrupted and messed up in your mind to the point that you begin believing something different from what is found in the Bible, then guess what you're going to do? You're going to begin preaching that, telling that to other people. You're going to be telling people this is what you got to do, and this is what you got to do, and this is what you got to do in order to be saved. You're going to begin to propagate something that is not right if you're corrupted in your mind. If you get led away from the simple plan of salvation that you find in the Word of God, you're going to begin to give other people that corrupt plan of salvation. Certainly that's what the devil wants to accomplish. So let me say to you this morning, talking to you saints. I got any saints in the building this morning? Let's just abide by the KISS principle, okay? Let's keep it simple, saints. Let's make sure that we stay with the simplicity that is in the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that is found in the personal relationship we have with Him. Let's remind ourselves. That's what the devil's after, right? He's wanting to corrupt our minds. Let's remind ourselves of what the Bible says about salvation. And that's what you've got to do. How do you keep it simple, saints? How do you do it? How do you keep it simple so that you stay with the simplicity that is in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, here's how you do it. You don't know how you do it? You don't know how you do it? Here's how you do it. You got to stay with the Bible, okay? You got to stay with the Word of God. If you get away from the Bible, then you're opening the door for the devil to mess with your mind. If you get away from what God says, then you have just opened the door for the devil to corrupt your mind and get you away from the simplicity that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about what He did with Eve. That's the illustration, isn't it, that Paul uses right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at again verse number 3. But I fear lest by any means, and that's the thing, he'll use any means that he possibly can. The devil will take whatever opportunity he can find to mess with your mind. But I'll tell you, one of the main ways that he messes with our mind is by sending somebody along, some person along, to begin talking to us about stuff that's not in the Word of God. If you get away from the Bible and you begin to listen to the arguments and the false teachings of other people, it won't be long before your mind will be corrupted to the point that you no longer see just how simple it is to have a personal relationship with the Lord. But he says here in verse 3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve. You go back in your mind for just a moment. We're not going to take the time to look back there, but you go back in your mind for just a moment to Genesis chapter 3, where you find recorded the story where the serpent came to Eve there in the Garden of Eden. And he began to talk to her about partaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? That's what he started talking to her about. How was it that he was able to get Eve to give in and take of the fruit of that tree and eat that fruit and then give it to her husband Adam? How was he able to beguile Eve? To beguile is to trick somebody, and that's what he did. Through his subtlety, he tricked her. But how did he do it? How did he mess with her mind and get her to thinking in a way that she didn't need to think? If you go back to that chapter, Genesis chapter 3, and read it, you'll find that the way he got to her was by getting her away from what God said. In fact, the very beginning of the conversation, he says to her, he says, yea, hath God said? It's a question. Did God really say that? Now let me ask you, do you believe the devil knew what God said? Absolutely he knew what God said. Do you believe that the devil knows this Bible right here? Yeah, I'm going to tell you that what's so dangerous and scary is the fact that he knows it better than most of us know it. But he knew exactly what God said, so he begins by saying, yea, hath God said? Did God really say that? Did God really tell you not to eat of it? And if you did, that you're going to die right then? Did God really say that? And you know what she did? She started thinking a little bit. He's messing with her mind. And she begins thinking, and she begins to talk to him. And he says to her, he says, hey, if you eat of that, you shall not surely die. He says just the opposite of what God said. You're not going to die. I know God said that. I know God told you that if you eat of it, you're going to die. But if you eat of that, you're not really going to die, because God knows that in the day you eat thereof, ye shall become as gods, knowing both good and evil. And then what happens next? She partakes of the fruit. You see what he did to her, the way he tricked her? He messed with her mind and he got her away from what God said. And whenever she quit going by what God said, are y'all listening to me this morning? You may not think so, but what I'm telling you is important here today. When he got her to the point where she stopped agreeing with what God said in this Bible, or what God had said to them there in the Garden of Eden, that's when she gave in and partook of the fruit. And I'm telling you, the way you keep it simple, saints, is you got to stay with this Bible right here. You cannot allow anybody, I don't care who it is, and I don't care how well-intentioned they seem to be, you cannot let them put questions in your mind about what God has said in this Bible right here. Because if you begin to question what God says, you open a door. You give the devil an opportunity to mess with your mind, and I promise you it will not be long if you stay on that track before you begin to think in a way that God does not want you to think. And once you start thinking in a way that God doesn't want you to think, you're going to wind up acting in a way that God does not want you to act. So the battle is right up here. You got to keep it simple, and you got to make sure you don't let the devil get your mind. And the way that you don't let him have your mind and mess up your mind is you stay with what God said. When somebody says to you, whatever it might be, and you know because you've read it in the Bible, that that's not what God said. What should you do immediately in a situation like that? I mean, just immediately when you recognize that somebody is saying something to you, and you would think that Eve would have picked up on that there in the garden, because God said to Adam, and Adam evidently told her, look, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And then here comes the devil, and he says, hey, in that day that you eat thereof, you're not really going to die. That's not going to happen. You would think that right then she would have picked up on the fact that the devil was telling her something that God had not said. But apparently she didn't, or either she just ignored it. When somebody comes and they give you something about salvation or whatever the case that you know according to the Bible is not right, the last thing in the world you want to do is entertain that thought for 1 second. Immediately put that out of your mind. Bible says we're to take every thought captive. I'm going to tell you one reason why you need to take every single thought captive that comes into your mind is because if you don't, the devil is going to mess up your mind. The devil will corrupt your mind from the simplicity that is in Christ, and the next thing you know, you'll begin thinking and believing stuff that's not right about salvation, and you'll be doubting your own salvation, and you'll be telling other people things that's not right about salvation. So we need to keep it simple. You know what I want to do here in just the next few minutes? Is I just want to remind everybody in here, every saint in here, just how simple it is to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep it simple, saint. And I don't know if there's somebody in here that's doubting their salvation. I don't know if there's somebody in here that's done already messed up and saying stuff you don't need to say. You're already muddying up the water for other people. I don't know. But I want to remind you this morning just how simple it is to have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you are saved, this is what had to happen, what did happen at some point in your life. Number one, and I've heard people say this before, and there's a lot of truth to it. I've heard people say that getting saved is as simple as ABC. You ever heard that before? It's as simple as ABC. Now listen to me. I'm talking about the act of getting saved. Now, I'll be the first person to admit to you that once you get saved, living the Christian life isn't always simple. Sometimes after you get saved, just trying to discern God's will and figure out God's direction for your life and dealing with all the temptations and trials, sometimes that's difficult. Sometimes it's not easy. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about this morning is how simple it is for somebody who is lost to be saved. That is as simple as ABC. Number one, here's how simple it is. You got to admit or agree with God that you are a sinner. That's what you got to do. There's no possible way for anybody to be saved without them first admitting or agreeing with God. This is what the scripture says. It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? You find that in the book of Amos in the Old Testament. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The idea is, can they get along and have fellowship and be on the same page if they are not agreed? What's the answer to that? Y'all tell me. No. You cannot. Two people can't walk together in communion and fellowship if they're not in agreement. The only way that you as a lost person can get saved is, number one, you got to agree with him. Okay. Here's the thing. God doesn't have to agree with you. Y'all listen to me? Because he's always right. 100% of the time. He doesn't have to agree with you. You have to agree with him. You have to say, yes, Lord, I agree with what you say about me in the Bible. If you're a saint this morning, if you're one of God's children, that somewhere in your past, there was a time when you agreed with God about your condition. You agreed with what he says in the Bible about you. This is what he says. He says you're a sinner. Amen? He says you're a sinner. Everybody, and listen to me. That's how you're born. You're born a sinner. You are born with a sinful, corrupt nature. Every person born into this world is born a sinner. A lot of people have this thing messed up in their mind. They believe that they become a sinner when they commit their first act of sin. That's not how that thing works. The reason why a person commits an act of sin is because they are a sinner. Y'all following what I'm saying? There's a big difference there. Some people in their mind, they think, well, I'm not really all that bad a sinner, okay, because I haven't done what this person has done, and I'm not as bad as this person is in their life. And they make an assessment about how bad a sinner they are based on what they see in the lives of others. They compare themselves with other people. But the fact of the matter is, every person is born a sinner. We come into this world with a sin nature, and every person's sin nature is just as corrupt as anybody else. Y'all agree with that? If you don't agree with that, you don't agree with God. And you cannot be saved until you agree with God. God, I'm a sinner. You got to raise your hand in guilt. Just like I stand here in times past, even maybe this morning, and I've said, anybody in here believe that? Anybody heard that? You raise your hand up. When God says, do you believe you're a sinner? If you're going to be saved, you know what you got to do? Yes, Lord. I believe I'm a sinner. You can't approach God with this mentality. Well, yeah, you know, I've done a few things, but I'm not as bad as those so-and-so. That's not the issue, friend. The issue is not, have you done as many bad things as somebody else? Every person in this building here today is a wicked, godless sinner in their nature. Do you understand that? It doesn't matter. I hear people all the time say, well, I've never drank, I've never smoked, I've never cussed, I've never run around on my wife. And, you know, so let me tell you something. Are y'all listening to me? You can go through your life and never drink and never smoke and never cuss and never cheat on your wife or cheat on your spouse and pay your taxes every year and die in your sins and burn in hell forever. You understand that? You better understand that, because it doesn't matter if you haven't committed a whole bunch of bad things. In God's sight, you are a wretched sinner. That's what he says. And the only way you can get saved is to raise your hand. Say, God, I agree with you. That's what you say. You got to quit listening to all this garbage and trash and rot that you hear on the TV where everybody tells you how good you are. All these people telling you just how wonderful you are as an individual. You're a sinner is what you are. That's exactly, that's what I am. Every last one of us, we're sinners. We're guilty before God. And because we're sinful in our nature, we commit acts of sin. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why have all sinned and come short of the glory of God? Because we're sinners. There is, listen to me now, this is what the Bible says, and that's what I said to you earlier, what you got to stay with is the Word of God, right? This is not my opinion. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none good, no, not one. There is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. That's what God says. Do you agree with that? Well, if you're a saint this morning, I'm telling you, somewhere, you agreed with God. You said, yes, Lord, I am a sinner. You never heard of anybody getting saved that didn't first say, I agree, I am a sinner. And if by chance you're here this morning and you're not saved, if you want to get saved, I'm telling you how simple it is. Step number one, you just got to be willing to agree with God. Yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. Number two, it's as simple as ABC. Don't let the devil tell you any different. You got to agree with God that you're a sinner. But number two, you got to believe the gospel. You got to believe the gospel. It's as simple as ABC. And I'm telling you, if you're here this morning and you are a saint of God, somewhere in your past you agreed with him about your sinful condition. And number two, you believe the gospel, right? That's what it says in the Bible. You got to believe the gospel. You got to believe that God's Son came into this world and lived a sinless life, right? That God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, came into this world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Isn't that what it says? You got to believe that God's Son came down here as a man and lived a sinless life, that he never did anything wrong. The Bible says he knew no sin. He did no sin. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, the Bible says. I'm just giving you the Bible on it this morning. You got to believe that God's Son came down here, lived a sinless life, and died a sacrificial death. To pay not just for the sins of the world, but to pay for your sins. Y'all following me? See, salvation is a personal thing. It's a personal thing. I can't be saved for you. You can't be saved for me. It's a personal thing. It's an individual thing. Each and every individual has to, number one, agree with God that they're a sinner. And number two, they got to believe the gospel. They got to believe that God's Son came down here, lived a sinless life, and died for them. See, I've met people before that would agree that Jesus died on the cross. The problem where they're hung up is they don't see and understand that when he died on that cross, he was dying not just for the whole world and everybody, but he died for them. He took your sin on the cross when he was hanging there. That old song we used to sing, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Well, that's right. He died for you. The Bible says the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He bore in his body on the tree our sins. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. He died there for our sin. You got to believe that. You got to believe that he came down here, he lived a sinless life, that he died on the cross, And then the third day, rose again from the dead. Next Sunday, right? Next Sunday is the day that we've set aside to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What a thing to celebrate. Because I'm going to tell you, without believing in the gospel, without believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can't go to heaven. Can't go to heaven. You can believe that he lived. You can believe that he died and still go to hell. Do you understand that? You got to believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross, was buried, and rose again the third day. You have to believe this in order to be saved. How simple is it? I'm talking about the simplicity that is in Christ. How simple is it to get saved? Number one, you got to admit, agree with God that you're a sinner. Number two, you got to believe the gospel. And if you're a saint, you did that somewhere in your life. You agreed with God. Hey, I'm a sinner, Lord. But Lord, I also believe. I believe there was a time when you left heaven and you came to this earth down here. And you lived a sinless life and you went to a cross that you didn't deserve. Cross that should have been mine. And you took my sin in your own body right there on that tree. And you died and you shed your blood to pay for my sins. And the third day, you rose again. You got to believe that. And if you're saved, you did it, right? If you're saved, you did that. You agreed with God and you believed the gospel. Here's the last one, ABC, the simplicity. How simple is it? I heard somebody say one time, and they weren't trying to be blasphemous. They said that getting saved is simple as falling off a log. And it really is. What the devil has done is he's corrupted our minds to the point that we think there's more to it than what we read in the Bible. We just can't imagine that it could be that simple. Just that simple. So we begin to question what we believed at one point in time in our life. The things we believed that got us in, we begin to question those things. And even worse, we begin to tell other people stuff that we shouldn't tell them. I know folk right now that are preaching a plan of salvation that they didn't even believe back whenever they believed it. They've added stuff to it, stuff that they didn't even believe, stuff they're not counting on, stuff they're not trusting in to get them to heaven. They're now preaching that messed up gospel. What happened to them? I told you one time, I talked to a fella who told me, he told me out of his own mouth that he and his family went to a Baptist church for like 30 or 40 years, and they left that and they became Jehovah's Witness. Now, folks, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. People say you don't talk about other folks' as religion. Well, if they're wrong, I'm going to talk about them, okay? Black it or lump it. I'm just going to tell you if it's wrong. The Jehovah's Witness don't preach the same gospel that the Baptists do, okay? They don't preach that. And it is highly possible that that man and that woman got saved when they were young, going to a Baptist church. They heard the pure, plain gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and got saved and believed that. And then somebody come along through the devil and corrupted their minds, and they now believe something that is not right. And you know what they're doing now? They're getting together, a couple of them, traveling around from house to house, passing out their Kingdom Hall literature. They're preaching a messed up plan of salvation, something that they didn't even believe back when they got saved. You know what happened? The devil messed their mind up, stole away from them the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. He'll do that to you if you let him. You got to agree with God that you're a sinner. You got to believe the gospel. And here's the last thing. This is how simple it is. You want to know what you got to do? You got to call upon the Lord in faith. You got to do it. ABC. Agree with God. Lord, I'm a sinner. Believe the gospel. Lord, I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose again the third day. I believe that. And right now, the best way I know how, I'm calling on you and I'm asking you to be my Savior. If you're saved, you did that somewhere in your life. If you're saved, you did that. You may have been in church. You may have been in your home. The pastor that I surrendered to the ministry under, he got saved sitting in the cab of his truck one morning. A pastor came and sat down with him in the cab of his truck and told him about Jesus Christ. And he bowed his head right there and asked the Lord to save him. You don't have to be in church to be saved, but being in church and getting saved, that's good too. Amen. You can get saved wherever if you're willing. to agree with God that you're a sinner. Believe the gospel. And the best way you know how, just say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I'm asking you. I'm calling on you. Because this is what the Bible says. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Bible, folks. That's Bible. That's what the Word of God says. If thou shalt believe in thine heart the Lord Jesus, and confess with, believe, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Isn't that what it says? That's Bible. How simple is it to be saved? Well, I'll say this. The day you got saved, you believed it was simple. Right? You believed it was just as simple as you saying, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. And I believe you died for me and rose again. I'm calling on you. If you don't believe that now, what I'm saying has happened in your life is you have been beguiled like Eve was in the Garden of Eden, and you no longer believe in the simplicity that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, let's keep it simple, amen? Not just for our own sakes, but for the sakes of others. I don't ever want a person that I have a conversation with, a lost person that I have a conversation with, to walk away from that conversation thinking, wow, it really is hard to get saved. If that happens, I've done something wrong. I have conveyed the message in the wrong way. If somebody walks away from a conversation with me thinking it's hard to get saved, because it's not hard. It's just as simple as A, B, C. Let's bow our head for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the opportunity to be in church. Lord, I thank you for the simplicity of salvation. I'm thankful you did all the work, that I don't have to work my way to heaven. I'm thankful I don't have to earn my way to heaven. I'm thankful you did it all. You paid the price 100%. And it's just as simple as me agreeing with you, believing the gospel, and calling on your name in faith. And Lord, if there's somebody here today that's confused about this, I pray you would remind them of the simplicity that is in Christ. And Lord, if there's somebody here today that's lost, I pray they would understand just how simple it is. And before they leave, they receive Christ as their Savior. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.